Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And it's interesting, the way they worded it is, at that point, Warren Jeffs realized that the state could come after him for polygamy. And Melissa made a very good point. She said, it's not polygamy they're coming after him for, it's the fact that, he is marrying these underage girls to these older men and having children with them. It's not, I mean, yes, polygamy is illegal, but that's not what started the cases and the big issues that got the state after them. It was the harming of children, really. Welcome back, everyone. My name is Sam.
And I'm Melissa.
I grew up in the FLDS community. It is a polygamous group run by Warren Jeffs, and I moved out when I was 18 years old.
I was raised LDS. Sam and I have been married for 9 years and have 2 awesome kiddos.
Yes, we do. We want to quickly thank our donors, YouTube members, and our patrons over on Patreon. We really do appreciate your support.
Yes, today we had some people reach out to us and ask for us to comment and react to Doomsday Prophet on Hulu. And this one, man, when it started, okay, so it just barely came out in February of this year because they were talking about some stuff that's really recent. And I feel like this documentary, it's only 1.5 hours long, but it gives a really good overview, like a quick overview. Sometimes they were going through topics pretty quick, but it gives a really good overview from like the beginning before Warren Jeffs to present now. And man, I don't know if so this is through ABC News, right?
Yeah.
I think they were pulling footage from lots of other things. Did you notice that?
It does seem like that. They got a lot of different perspectives, different sides of the story. But yes, it was pretty intriguing and pretty impressive how many different pieces they were able to pull together in this short, 1.5 hours long series.
Yeah. And I mean, normally I typically am taking notes and I write down the names of the people in case it follows that one person through the storyline. And I was like, oh my gosh, they have this person and this person and this person and this person. And I mean, I was at like 15 people-ish when I was like, I think they're pulling from other interviews and they're combining it into this one big overview, which was kind of cool. And so I don't know how many of these were taken for this specific episode. It seemed like there were a couple, but a lot of them was combining footage from things that people had done in previous interviews, which I thought was also nice too, because some of these people, like we've had Brielle on our channel before, Brielle Decker, and you know, she gets interviewed constantly. Like she has interviews every single week. And so I was like, it's probably nice for all of these people to have them grab stuff from previous interviews to be able to come up with this big picture.
Yeah, I think that they summed it up pretty well. I mean, of course, there's always more information out there, right? But they got a lot of good sources to put it all together, give you a quick overview of what's going on. They even had some active members of the FLDS church in there talking about their beliefs and why they still believe today. So that was cool, too, to see that side that not often do we get to see or get to hear the answer to why there are still people following Warren Jeffs. So that was very interesting for me to see.
Yeah, if there's anybody out there that is like just barely hearing about the FLDS for the first time or has just barely stumbled upon our channel, I would say that this documentary would be a great one to watch to get the quick overview and then come over to our channel for all the nitty gritty little details. Because there were a couple people on here that we've interviewed before or a lot of these topics we've gone like way deep on. So I think this was a great overview. So getting into it, it was, you know, they had so many little moments where Sam like either saw his siblings in the footage from previous. He saw his mother in one of the videos.
Yeah, it was
crazy. They had a lot of past footage.
Yeah, they have all of this. And I don't know if it, I don't know if they pulled this footage from news reporters that were just there hiding behind the bush filming as,
It looked like home videos.
Some of them were home videos, yeah. But it's interesting because they had a lot of footage of people inside the meeting house there during the meetings. They had a lot of footage of people walking out of the meeting house, which is pretty rare to see from that time. I was guessing it was probably around 2004-ish time that I would see. I saw three of my brothers that they had on camera walking out of the meeting house. And I was like, no way, pause. That's my brother. So that was really crazy. And then, yes, my mother, I got to see her. In a short clip there as well where they're playing the harps. My mother plays the harp. It's always been a very special thing for her to be able to do that. So there towards the end of the harp playing in that one small, I don't remember exactly what timestamp that was, but I guess more towards the end of the show, it does show some girls and young women playing harps. And yeah, so I saw my mother and I was like, wait a minute. And I don't see her. I haven't really been able to go out and visit with her since I left, really. So it's been a long time since I've seen her. So that was kind of a shock to see her on camera or on that video. I don't know where they got that. I have no idea where they got that footage, but very, very interesting.
Yeah, it kind of goes through the beginning of, you know, kind of introducing these people that are just talking about the concept of polygamy, about the fact that it was, you know, a religion and, or as one person said, it went from a religion and a church to being a dictatorship by Warren Jeffs, right? Going into a little bit of what it was like before, and they're showing the festivals and they're showing, you know, all of these good times before Warren Jeffs really took over and kind of what it was like. And then as the marriages started becoming more and more underage, and then they were talking about the assignment of wives and how these young women were being married to old men. And then it went from young women to children being married off to these old men. And so, you know, even the people that were being interviewed talked about the fact that, you know, it was common for you marry first, you fall in love after. You know, the assignment of marriages had been happening for a long time before that. I want to say a super long time, because even clear back before the Jeffs took over, you know, you could kind of say, oh, you know, I'm feeling like I should marry this person and kind of ask the prophet for permission.
Yeah.
And then that kind of went away.
But there was still assigning, even during those times. There was still, we feel that you should marry so-and-so. So it's been around for a long time. It just got a lot more strict and a lot more common when the Jeffs took over. So, and especially Warren Jeffs, even more so than his father. But yeah, so that the assigning of marriage, though, has been around for a long time.
For a very long time. And they just talk about the progression of being younger and younger. And then they talk about Warren. They talk about him being a preemie and then him growing up and there being issues with him molesting children from clear back long before he was anywhere near the prophet, and that these issues had been always there. And then the more power he got, the more he was able to hurt children. And the marriages started getting younger and younger and younger.
Right. Yeah, it blows my mind that he got as far as he did. And people within the community, knowing what they knew back then, that he had these tendencies of doing these immoral things, that he was able to, I don't know, I guess talk his way out of situations and try to convince others that he was actually a good person, being his father, for example. So one clip it showed, which was very interesting to me, that Warren Jeffs, during the late years of his father, where Rulon Jeffs was, I think it's about, I don't know, the early 2000s or late 90s, where Rulon Jeffs would actually start looking to Warren, his son, for, you know, to make sure that he was doing everything correct. So that was the first time I've ever heard, and I believe it, that towards the end of Rulon's life, he was actually following instructions from Warren, it sounds like, which is so interesting because we've heard from some of Warren's children and those that were close to the family that would say that it seemed like a surprise when Rulon Jeffs died, that Warren was surprised by that and that he wasn't ready to take over.
And yeah, then, he didn't think that his father would ever die.
Right. Warren thought that Ruel and Jess would live forever, supposedly. But then you hear these other things that kind of shed light on the fact that Warren was, in a way, dictating what his father said and did towards the end of his life. And so then it makes you wonder, maybe he did have a plan. It's so hard to know exactly what was going on in his mind.
Yeah, I wonder if both things could be true at once.
Maybe.
Okay, so hang with me. This is like a new theory popping in my head right at this moment. But if he really didn't think that his father was going to die and that the second coming was coming, doesn't mean that he wouldn't try to still have as much power as he could over his father in that moment and still be surprised at the passing of his father. So he might have wanted control and backseat control, but he might not have ever sincerely thought that he was ever going to have the chance to be in control of the church as a prophet. So maybe both of those things were true. Maybe he was planning and conniving and acting for his father and wanting all the control with his father at the head, but never really thinking that he'd have a chance at actually getting it and being surprised when it happened.
So maybe trying to take charge in any situation that he could so that he felt that he had some power, even though he didn't think he would ever have it all.
Yeah.
And that's possible.
And then once he does, you know, and then it goes into the fact that once he does, I think it was Charlene Jeffs, who we've had on this channel. We'll put some links down below for the people that were in this documentary that we've interviewed. We can drop those links below so you can hear more from them. But I think it was her that said that Warren took it from a church to what he would call a benevolent dictatorship. And they started talking about the stricter rules for clothing and how the hair had to be done a certain way. And then the color red was banned, and how all of these rules just kept going and going, and keeping sweet became more important, which basically just means ultimate obedience. Don't ask any questions. Don't go against authority. You keep sweet. You smile. I think one of the signs it showed at the bottom, it said, like, just don't be yourself.
Yeah. Don't ever speak when you're being spoken to by your husband or your leader. Mm-hmm. Just basically shut up and be happy about it, which is so crazy. Those words coming out of my mouth is so crazy to me now, because in the FLDS, I looked at this phrase, keep sweet, as a very positive thing. They showed a clip in here of them singing a song called the Keep Sweet Song and holding the sign up saying keep sweet. And I remember those kinds of skits and songs. And I, in the moment, it was so precious and special to me. And when Warren Jeffs stood up at one moment and introduced the song and the program that would be starting and all of these different things, I think back on those as fond memories as a child, that, oh my gosh, this was so cool. And we would see like replays of The Sound of Music and things like that, where the community would come together and you know, show off their acting skills. It's just so crazy that now I look at it and think, oh my gosh, there's so much that I didn't understand that was going on right under my nose at that time. But it's a constant conflict in my mind of what I'm hearing now and what I know now that was going on, and the feelings that I felt back then, thinking that I knew what was going on and thinking that it was all true. So it's that constant battle in my mind. And some of the people talking, like Isaac Weiler, for example, especially him, Warren's older brother that talks a couple times, all of these people, I remember being taught by leadership in my own family that these were wicked, evil men, and that anything they say is untrue. Don't ever trust them, because they were forced out of the community. And now spreading lies to the world about this perfect little community, right? Mm-hmm. And so those were teachings that I was taught as a young at a young age. And now I see them, and it's just crazy to be in this spot now where I can be neutral and say, I believe you. I believe you. I believe that both of you think that you're doing the right thing. But there's just like some of the people within the FLDS that speak think that they're doing the right thing still. Some of these women don't see it for what it is in certain aspects, because maybe they didn't have to deal with Warren Jeffs personally. And that's kind of where I was coming from.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, some of the people who were still FLDS that were speaking and talking about you know, the pros to polygamy and stuff. Sam recognized them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was recognizing so many people. I mean,
yeah, we were pausing a lot. He's like, wait, back that up. I know that person. I know this person.
And the connections. And oh my gosh, she lived up the street. And they lived up the street. And so-and-so that is being questioned about his underage marriages and all of these things that were going on right under my nose lived a block up the street from me, you know? And so it's just crazy to me how, oh man, what's the word? Unaware I was of what was going on in the community at that time.
Yeah. So it talks about, you know, the community obviously being closed off and separate, and that's all intentional, right? To keep the world out, to protect everyone. And then after Warren's the prophet and these underage marriages are happening, really, they said the very first case that started opening this up to law enforcement into the state of Utah was Ruth Stubbs. And that's one that we haven't covered her case a lot, and you haven't seen covered as much, I feel like, personally. Right. So maybe we should look up some videos and do some more on that. Yeah. But she was 16 when she was married to a 32-year-old man, and he was a police officer. And when she left and she pressed charges against him because she got pregnant when she was 16 and won that case, and that was the kind of, they said, the beginning of Warren realizing he was going to get in trouble for everything that was going on and for these underage marriages.
And it's interesting, the way they worded it is at that point, Warren Jeffs realized that the state could come after him for polygamy. And Melissa made a very good point. She said, it's not polygamy they're coming after him for. It's the fact that, he is marrying these underage girls to these older men and having children with them. It's not, I mean, yes, polygamy is illegal, but that's not what started the cases and the big issues that got the state after them. It was the harming of children, really.
Yeah.
And so when you hear these stories, and once again, I feel just awful to even say this, but this story of the Stubbs girl, once again, was one of those things where we were told that, oh, you can't trust her. You can't believe her. She's lying. This isn't true. That she was uncomfortable, that her husband would hurt her, and these different things like that. And so, man, like I say, it's just hard to now see things for what they are. And once again, of course, you're going to have people on both sides still today that say some of these things are still lies, that the FLDS isn't this bad place, that Warren Jeffs wasn't hurting anyone. There's going to be both sides still today where people just don't believe what is being said.
Yeah, and there was still, you know, was it Miriam Holm was still saying, you know, he's our prophet and we love him and we're not a cult and we're not doing this and we're not doing that and we're just peaceful people trying to live our religion, right? So there's still, and most of Sam's family still feels that exact way as well. So that was kind of like the first case that started bringing to light. Warren starts getting worried. He starts building the ranch in Texas. Now, we have a lot of information about the ranch. Mm-hmm. If you want to go back to our videos, again, I'll link ones below that I think apply. Even just recently, one of Warren Jeff's sons.
Yep, Ammon.
Ammon.
Had him on, yeah.
We just had him on last week. I'll probably link that one above. And he has a book all about the raid and being a child at the raid and being on the ranch in Zion. So we won't go too deep into details in the ranch, but Warren Jeffs is building the ranch over here at a temple. He's on the run. He's taking, you know, one of his favorite wives, and they're going and they're spending so much of the church's money to, you know, go to Las Vegas and go to Disneyland and go do all these things that nobody else was allowed to do. And nobody can wear red dresses, but he's riding around in a red Cadillac. all these things while he's running, and that nobody would believe even if they were told.
Right?
They were saying that the pictures, when the FBI caught him outside of Las Vegas, they took pictures of all this cash and all these phones and all this stuff that they found in the vehicle. And the FLDS people were like, that's a fake photo. That's not even real.
100%. That's what I thought. I was there when Warren was caught in Las Vegas. And by the way, I still don't know where the sources come from. They said that he had Disneyland or Disney World tickets in his pocket when he was caught. So there's that. But I don't know where the sources of him going to strip clubs or gambling, I don't know where those are coming from. And I don't know how accurate they are. I mean, is the fact that he was caught in Vegas just started all these rumors? I personally don't know, so I can't speak for if that's true or not. But when I was in the FLDS at that time, there's this word that the FLDS people love to use, and it's called fabrication. They love to say it's all fabricated. It is the world trying to fight against God's church. They fabricated audio. They fabricated videos. If you do see any of this stuff, it's fabricated. So it was very easy for us to say, well, I mean, I don't know. I guess. Yeah, I guess that's true. And so that's what we believed. And I think today it's still the same way, that if they see some of these things, doesn't mean they're going to believe it immediately, even though it's right there in front of them.
Yeah. Or they just might not end up seeing it at all.
True.
Which they had talked about, you know, the first trial. So when he got caught, he went to trial, and that was the case with Elisa Wall. And, you know, she was on the documentary Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey on Netflix a couple years ago that was super big. So a lot of you might have heard her story. If not, you can find out a lot more details about her story in that documentary. They do talk about her standing trial and saying, you know, I was forced at 14 years old to marry my first cousin who was older and that I didn't like. And then, you know, I was forced upon as his property and was sexually abused. And she stood up in court and said that. And we've heard from people that lived in Short Creek at that time that they were told that she was evil as well.
Oh,
were you
yes.
out there when she, oh, yeah. when this was, yeah, you're still yeah, out there, right?
Oh yeah, I was there. So Warren was caught in 2006 and I left in 2008, mid 2008. So yes, I definitely was there through all of that. And yeah, anyone that was speaking against Warren Jeffs was considered a bad person that was spreading lies. And it's sad to say this, but even today, I know that a lot of people within the FLDS will say if a woman or a girl is saying it, it's most likely false. You can't trust the girls. Mm-hmm. Like, just to show you kind of the mindset there.
Patriarchy. Okay.
And how convenient. It's the girls that are going to be speaking out about abuse that was happening, and you're told not to trust them? Like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But he was convicted in that, and then right as they were, the state of Utah was going to have to throw it out because of a technicality with the jury or something, the jury getting false instructions, something very small and technical. Mm-hmm. Right as that was happening is when the Texas raid happened. And it's crazy. I mean, again, there's so much about the raid without going super deep into it, but it was all based on a phone call that ended up proving to be a fraud.
Yep.
Fraudulent phone call started it all. Children were ripped away from their parents. We've had CPS workers on our channel before admitting that things were handled horribly. They had no idea what they were getting into. They had no idea that there were 400 children on the ranch at that time. They had no idea the sexual abuse that was happening by Warren Jeffs,
right.
That his wives undergoing these heavenly sessions and dealing with these women being forced, all of his wives being forced into orgies, basically, and all the abuse that was happening, and these underage girls, all this other stuff, nobody had any idea. They just got a call saying, I'm 16 and I'm pregnant and I'm being abused, come save me. And that person didn't exist.
Right.
And it still kind of blows my mind that, like, if that one call hadn't been made, like, he could still be free. Because he was going to be released in Utah. And Utah basically handed him over directly to Texas, mm-hmm. because of the raid that happened.
Right.
And they started getting more and more warrants as they started seeing these girls who looked super young, were pregnant, and had children.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what he ended up going to prison in Texas for, was the abuse of a 12 and 15-year-old, a 15-year-old girl who had a child at 15. And then the 12-year-old girl who they had recordings of, which I just have to mention this because this is another one of those things where, depending on who is listening, they say different things.
Right.
So we've listened to the recording, and there's moments in the recording where it does sound like a blessing, which is what some of Warren Jeffs' wives have tried to say, that it was a blessing, not a rape. Then you can get further into the tape and you're like, no, this is definitely a rape.
Right.
You know, and the jury obviously, without a doubt, felt like it was a rape. I feel like nobody has just come, like, there's been no witnesses of anybody who was there when it happened to come out and say what actually happened, probably because they don't want to be complicit in the rape of a minor. I feel like if it really had been just a blessing, why wouldn't these women come forward as, like, and right. testifying, this was just a blessing. I was there. I saw it. but they haven't. But it's, you don't know because they don't talk to people either. So maybe they were told they weren't supposed to say anything.
Right. Yeah. That one is a tricky one because, yes, you're right. You hear parts of it and it sounds like a what you, I guess, could call a pretty normal, traditional priesthood blessing within the FLDS where they lay their hands on your head and they basically pray over you and bless you with certain blessings.
And asking how you feel after a blessing is not pretty uncommon. Normal.
Not uncommon at all. In fact, same with baptism. When you're baptized, a lot of times when they raise you up out of the water, they say, how do you feel? Right? So that part of it, and I know there's probably going to be people that hate us for even trying to say that it was just a blessing, and that's not what we're saying. We're just saying that there are two different sides of the story here. And some people would say, oh, it was just a blessing. And others would say, no, that was definitely more than that. So,
and I'd say last time we listened to the recording, I felt like I'd come to the conclusion for myself that it was a rape. Mm-hmm. And then just recently, we were talking to one of Warren Jeff's ex-wives who just recently left. And she just quickly was like, yeah, no, that was exactly, she said, based on how the blessings were that he gave his other wives that we saw, that sounded just like a blessing. And that's somebody who was
trying to hide the truth.
She was not hiding. Yeah, right. She was being honest about Heavenly Session. She was being honest about these other things she'd been involved in.
Yeah.
And so that also leads me to believe like, okay, well, if she had received blessings before from him and it sounded just like those recordings, maybe it is. I mean, again, that's the only reason why we bring that up again is just we've heard from sources and it's hard to know what the truth is unless there was somebody who was a witness that would actually finally come out and be like, I was there and this is what happened. And I haven't heard of that happening.
Someone said, because one of the things that made it seem a lot more like it was more than just a blessing was the heavy breathing. Mm-hmm. And who was it? Someone said that Warren was sick at the time. And so he was having a difficult time breathing, and that's what that was.
I think it was in a documentary. It might have been one of the other wives who said that it wasn't a...
Because that was one of the things that I was like, whoa, okay, that seems strange.
Yeah,
but that's normal. But then again, of course, you have the other side that apparently has an answer for that too. So, yeah, who knows? Who knows? No one's really that was there, like you said, that actually witnessed it is coming out and talking about what's going on.
But so, even as we were listening and Sam and I were talking about that before, you know, before filming this, and I said, at the end of the day, that one act doesn't even actually matter. I mean, it does because it's horrific and shows that he's a monster. But aside from that, they had a 15-year-old girl who was pregnant. So it was very obvious that there was sexual abuse.
So regardless.
He was married to a 12-year-old. So even if he had tried to claim, which I think they said that 12-year-old ended up pregnant anyway. So there was plenty of other evidence that was going to put him away for that regardless. But both of them together combined is why he is sitting in prison. And he got life sentences plus 20 years. People have talked about the fact that he's up for parole in 2038.
2038, yes.
So that being another, you know, almost 15 years away, from everything that we've heard in all of our sources is he was already crazy. He's going crazier. He's starting to just be out of his mind. Mm. I don't think that there's any chance of him lasting 15 more years, especially if he stays in solitary confinement,
right?
Personally.
And if he doesn't, you know, maybe he won't last either, right? If he's put into general population within the prison. So who knows? Who knows what'll come of it? We're hoping that he isn't just set free and he goes back to his old ways. But it seems very unlikely considering his mental state at this point.
And another thing that they mention in here that we have talked about before as well is that he's had new revelations coming out saying that the end is near within the next 5 years. And that everyone is going to have to be translated, but not the normal translation in the Bible where you get lifted up. But he actually specifically said to be translated, you must die, which is causing law enforcement, FBI, everyone to be very worried for loved ones that something like a Jonestown might happen, why everyone has to die before they can be translated. But I think there's a lot of things that are going to happen at that 5-year mark where there's going to be people who are going to say, okay, we've dealt with this whole end of the world thing how many times now, and it's still not happening, and your writings are getting more and more crazy. You know, I think slowly people are going to start coming out of it, hopefully, when they start seeing more and more of things not happening. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be long before his parole comes.
Yeah, it's interesting because people within the FLDS are seeing some strange things going on that they're not falling for. Like, for example, I know personally of multiple family members and relatives, I guess you could say, that are still in the FLDS, but say that they don't really, or at least I've heard from other people, that they don't follow Helam and Jeff's. Now, according to everyone that is close within the Jeff circle, they're saying that Helam and Jeff's is simply passing along
messages
from his father. That's what they're saying. And so if they're not following Helam and Jeff's, does that mean they're no longer following Warren Jeff's? Mm-hmm. And if so, are they stepping away without even knowing it?
Yeah. And now there's new rumors that Lyle Jeff's is supposed to be the temporal
shepherd.
The temporal shepherd, mm-hmm, over the people. And if that's something that Warren Jeff's is implementing, again, there could easily be breaks of people who don't trust Lyle. I mean, he was in prison himself for food stamp fraud and for other, I think, welfare fraud and stuff. So he's been in prison. He's been on the run. He's been in prison. And there's slowly becoming more and more points where people are like, well, I'm not really willing to listen to Lyle because I think he's shady. So maybe they'll stop listening to those revelations. Or I'm not willing to listen to Helaman because I don't trust Helaman. So then those messages aren't being delivered. So there's lots of different aspects that I think are going to slowly cause people to peel away and peel away and peel away long before Warren would ever be physically set free. If, and that's a very big if,
right,
if he even gets out or lives to see that day at all. The last thing that they talked about was just Short Creek now and the fact that people are moving back. They're reclaiming the town. They are changing the meeting house from being this place where people were getting kicked out, where fathers were being ripped away from their families, from all this harm that was being done by Warren under his control, to now a place where they're building as a community center. Yeah. And they are trying to change that aspect of the community and make people feel welcome to come back home to where they grew up.
Right. A lot of good changes for sure. And I've been out there multiple times. We both have recently. And it's good to see that the community is starting to shift. You know, people are starting to try to take back their lives and build a new life for themselves. And for so many years, the community was just looked so run down and, you know, and so just almost like a ghost town. And now it seems like things are starting to be rebuilt. It'll take a lot of work and time. It's not going to happen overnight because there were so many abandoned homes and just weeds and everything out overgrown. So it's going to take some time, but I'm very hopeful and it looks like people are coming together and making some big changes.
Yeah. So we hope for the community that it can be rebuilt up and be a safe haven for people who do want to go back home and find that healing. I know Elisa Wall said that that was super healing for her to go back and live her life the way that she chooses. Mm-hmm. Still within that community was able to like empower and help her. So that's definitely what we hope for everybody that leaves. And, you know, whether it's in Short Creek or somewhere else, that they find peace and happiness and are able to move forward with their lives in the way that they choose and out from under the thumb of Warren Jeffs and his dictatorship.
Yes, yes. It's crazy. It's almost surprising to me how many people that had really traumatic experiences within the FLDS church that chose and are choosing to move back to Colorado City and Hilldale City and just choosing to, like Melissa said, to say, no, I am not going to let that experience dictate the rest of my life. I'm going to take it back in the same place. And, you know, they don't seem to be fazed by the past. They're moving forward, which is really cool.
Yeah. If you want to hear more about what it was like for Sam to grow up in polygamy, then please like and subscribe. And again, you can watch this. It was called
Doomsday Prophet.
Doomsday Prophet, yes, on Hulu. If you want to see, like I said, a really great overview of the rise and fall of Warren Jeffs and what's going on now and how the FLDS are in the position that they are now.
Yes. Thank you all so much for being here with us today. And we look forward to talking with you soon.
Talk to y'all soon.